Hey, 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 family. This is your girl, Tamika Patton, and we are back once again for another episode of Time, Talent, and Treasure. What a week we have had. Come on, somebody. We're talking about celebration all over the country. Did you wake up to a, can you feel a brand new day? Yes, because that's how I felt. I know you felt it in your house too. Did the sun shine a little brighter? Huh? Were the colors just a little more vivid in your house? What? Did your food taste a little better? Yeah, that's the favor of God. Mm-hmm. God favored us. Yes, he did. He blessed us mightily. But that doesn't mean that we can come down off our post. We must continue to cover our nation and our leaders in prayer. We must continue to be positive and support one another. We must continue to move forward with our agenda and to bring to light what is right, huh? Yes, and to continue to be that light in a dark place. So the work is not done. It's just beginning. This was just a supernatural B12 to keep us encouraged, inspired, and focused on the future. Because so many of us, low-key, I'm not outing you, no shade, but so many of us pioneers and strong ones, the strong friends that they say that you need to check on, lost hope quietly. Even though your Facebook posts and your IG posts, you know, says something different, your well was running a little low. So that's what I love about God. He's that kind of friend. He's that kind of provider. He's that kind of father that he shows us a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel so we can keep moving forward. As believers, we should never lose hope. We should never lose hope. Our hope is Jesus. Come on. Our hope is in Jesus, the King of Glory. It's just the beginning of the show. Don't get me started. You know I can get carried away. So listen. This one is no different than any other. When I tell you that I am ecstatic and honored to share with you the abundance of talent and grace that we have to share with you today in the person of my sister and my friend. But before I bring her to you, for those of you that may not be familiar, I can't imagine how you couldn't be. If you're a music lover, a lover of the arts, and a lover of real singers, then you have heard this voice. You have heard this voice as a solo artist, and you have heard this voice on the records of many other names that are beloved that you probably aren't even aware of. So I'm going to educate you. I'm going to upgrade you today, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Stay tuned. We're going to share the chocolatey, caramely, warm espresso vocals of none other than my sister and my friend, Carol Riddick. Stay tuned. Yeah. What you're doing. I know. I'm just giving you a few moments to get up off the floor. Talk about authentic artistry. I love it when you understand what someone is saying and they enunciate and they take you on a journey and you can follow the brushstrokes of their notes. It's amazing. And so without further ado, come on, I bring to you that chick. The awesome vocals of my sister, Carol Riddick. Hey.
Hey, beautiful. I think I want to stay right here. Okay, with that introduction, with those accolades. I want to stay right here. This feels so
good. They're all true. I celebrate you and all that you have done for the industry and just being your true and authentic self, you know, in your music, in your interactions with people. You are the same person. You know how most artists have, you know, the five faces of Eve? When they're performing, they're somebody. When they're interviewing, they're somebody. You know, when they're at home with their family, they're somebody else. And when you encounter them, when they come down off the stage, they're somebody else. Mm-hmm. Carol Riddick is Carol Riddick all the time. And that says a lot about the authenticity of you. It comes through in your music and in your life. How are you doing?
I will not complain. Let me tell
Come
you.
Come on.
Okay. I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm ecstatic. I told you when you invited me. So first, let me say thank you for sharing your platform with me, for inviting me, for showing me some love and putting a spotlight on little old me. So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Of course. I'm honored to have an outlet, and thanks to my KBCN Media family for believing in Tamika Patton and Tamika Patton Music and Chosen Vessel Productions and granting us the opportunity to share our love and to share our insight and how we look at the world through Kingdom Creatives, through the arts, through all things industry. This is a wonderful platform and opportunity that we do not take lightly. And so I take it seriously. seriously what I bring to my viewers, and I promise to bring them the very best. And so here we are with the very best. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Carol Riddick? We want to know about Carol before we know about Carol Riddick. So give them a little peek on just how this all began. You opened your mouth one day and diamonds fell out. And then what happened?
I wish. But growing up, there were so many of my family members that listened to music, and everybody listened to a different style or type of music. And I loved it all. So, you know, my mother was listening to Johnny Mathis and Lou Rawls and Barbara Streisand and the Beatles. And my cousin, she loved to listen to bands, and she would listen to Mandrill and Dr. Buzzard's original Savannah band and Brass Construction. And, you know, and then my uncle had a speakeasy. And my mother and I, my administrative assistant has awakened, but my mother and I lived above my uncle, my aunt and uncle, and they had a speakeasy, and he built a bar out, and behind the bar was nothing but albums, and it was everything and everybody. So everybody that wasn't covered between what my mother listened to and who my cousin listened to, my cousin Misty listened to, it was everything in between. It was the, you know, there was the Tina Marie and the Rick James and the everybody, Stevie and everybody. So I listened to it all. I would sit on the floor and album, just listen to it, put it in his record player when there was no one in there. And I loved it. It was my happy place, my quiet place. You know, it was my place of calm. And but I still didn't know I could sing. I would sing, you know, around family and all. And I used to spend part of my summers in Dover, Delaware. I'm sorry for the long explanation, but I used to spend part of my summers. Yeah, I was like, this is who I am. But when I used to spend a part of my summers in Dover, Delaware with my aunt and uncle, my aunt Mildred and uncle Junior, and they had two kids, Kia and Kyra. And we would always put on shows, variety shows. That's what we called it. We had our own little variety show. So I would sing and we would do skits and all kinds of things. But when I came back home, nobody was familiar with any of that, with me doing any of that. So they would say, oh, somebody shut that child up, please. Somebody tell that child shut up. So that was what my aunts would always say. So I never took it seriously. And,
wow.
And I never thought I could sing. And I was really, really shy. I was like extremely shy. So even when I went to Freedom Theater, when I was taking drama, I'm skipping years, a whole lot of years, because I took dance, I took drama. But I was so shy. But I was so shy.
Well, Shy and Freedom Theater don't even go together.
And
so.
They did not. Let me tell you something. My instructor said, okay, you're here to work. So work is what you're going to do. So it helped to crack that shell, I will say. It helped me to break, you know, to step out of it. But it wasn't bringing it to a close. It was on a dare that I actually began to sing publicly.
Wow. So. You're gonna leave us hanging. So what happened?
Okay. So there was a guy. I met this guy one day. He almost hit me. He almost ran me over as I was crossing the street because he was looking at some other woman. And I teased him. I said, "See, if you weren't over there, you know, blah blah blah." So, but long story short, we became friends because he thought it was so funny that I called him out and that he had gotten caught. And just in conversation, he told me he was in a band. His name was Reggie. And he told me he was in a band. And he said they were looking for a female vocalist. So I said, oh, that's pretty cool. He said, you should come to our rehearsal sometime. And I said, well, I would love that. But he would tell me, like, stories. No, we didn't. You know, we had somebody come in and they didn't make the cut. But he would always clown whoever came in. So one day I'd gone to a rehearsal. And he said, yo, she can sing. And I said, oh, no, I don't. No, I can't. No, I don't. And they said, no, you know, you want to try out? And I said, oh, absolutely not. And he kept saying, yeah, she can sing. She's acting like she can't, you know. I was like, no, I cannot, you know. And then I sang and they asked me to join the group. And I was shocked and stunned. And then he was mad at me. He said, you lied. I was like, you didn't ask me. because he was trying to make, you know, he was trying to make an example out of me. So, but that's how God
works. So you boiled him again.
That's how God works. So that wasn't in my plan, but that was the start of it. It was because Maximum Level was the name of the band.
So Maximum Level. Look at that. And you have been putting out the vocals at a maximum level since that day. I promise you. Okay. So now that we know who Carol is, we are going to just take a quick break. I cannot wait to get back into this and unpack the becoming of Carol Riddick. Listen, if you're just joining us, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right now. I want to invite my KBC and media family to come on through and tell us what you do. Stay tuned. We are back. If you are just joining us, what a treat. We have the amazing Carol Riddick as our guest today, and she has just finished enlightening us on becoming Carol Riddick. She shared with us who Carol is, and we got to hear how she made her start. And so now we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to get into the good stuff. So now you have to tell us your first professional experience. Who introduced, well, we don't want to say who, because we don't want to name drop, but because there's a plethora of folks that you'll just mention casually that's like, you know, naming who's coming in at the Grammys or something. But if you could just give us a brief of the day that you were introduced to the industry, or you're coming out in the industry, what was that like?
That was, that would have been the first tour I did. It's for the industry. That would have been the first tour I did, I would say. And that was the first tour I did was with Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
And it was that all?
It was a 10 rap group tour, and I was a baby. It was there was Jeff and Will, there was Kid and Play, there was MC like Queen Latifah, Public Enemy, Kid Capri, the Ghetto Boys, 357.
So everybody basically on radio at that time,
yeah,
was on this tour.
Yeah,
that's all. That's how you started. Yeah. So I'm saying all this for all of my artists that are watching, and you get an opportunity, and most of the time you have to work your way up to working with the people. So the first time out the gate and you're on a national tour with the people, that's your reference on your resume. That kind of means that's who you were born to be. So you were born for this. So out the gate, as a baby, your first experience, you're on tour with Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff. That's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Carry on. And then what happened?
And then that just sounds. I mean, I did work in the studio with them prior to. Well, so. Prior to going on the tour, and I got to go on the road with them because when I was working with them, they were at the end of recording Home Base, their project. And so they were at the end of it. They were done recording it. So that was why the tour was offered to me. But I was I was working in the studio writing and, you know, working with everyone else, because Janae, I was about to say Jean and Renee, but Janae were there, and, you know, the guys, Craig King, who's now like a producers, James Poyser, everybody who was coming through the studio and working in and out of the studio. So we were all working and honing our crafts prior to the offer that was given to me to go on the road. But after having done the tour, we came back and I continued writing as well. But I started going to school. I went to Temple. I studied communications. Most people ask if I studied music, but I was studying because I wanted to be an anchor person.
Okay. See that?
That was my desire, communications. And, but I did 2 years because I left because my mother had become ill, but when she was on the mend, I was itching to get back to music.
Wow.
So it just so happened that these two beautiful young ladies, they needed some musicians. It was Les Nubian. And they offered, I was offered that tour, and I was with them for a couple of years as well.
Amazing. Okay. So while we're in the whole tour vein, just come on and bring us up to date, and just so I can just break out into a full shout here. Because you've toured with some major people. You want me to do it? You want me to drop names? Because I really
have been blessed, which is, you know, I don't take it lightly at all, you know, because it is a privilege and it is an honor. And what we are able and are blessed to do, you know, it's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. So I don't take it lightly at all. You know, it's our ministry. So I would never, ever just say it like, oh, I did this and this, because that's not what it is. I didn't do anything. I was given the opportunity to participate, but I didn't do anything. I was merely the vessel that was able to benefit from my own ministry. So that's, you know, that's how I see it. That's how I live it. And that's what I tell anyone within earshot.
Wow. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and just teach you. All right. So we've shared stages with Jill Scott, Vivian Green, and Saul, Music Soul Child, Will Downing, but Gerald Beasley. You know, I'm leaving out so many folks. The show is only 30 minutes. So there's so many established voices and respected voices in the industry that you have had the opportunity to. You're nobody's background vocalist by any stretch of the imagination. So tell me, because people don't believe when I tell them, it takes a lot more skill to be a background vocalist than it does to be a lead vocalist.
What I tell everyone, because people ask me sometimes, you know, why do you sing background for people? You know, you're a lead vocalist. You have your own projects and what have you. But I love singing background. I love being a lead vocalist as well. But you get to complement another artist's ministry. And like you just said, that, I mean, there's a skill set involved with both, with being a lead vocalist and a background vocalist. You know, right. you just don't grab a mic and that's all there is, you know. And again, it's a huge blessing for me. It's a huge privilege, you know, to be able to work with these artists, whether I'm working with a feature, whether I'm working as a background vocalist, you know, in whatever capacity, it's a blessing. You know, get to combine ministries, and it's beautiful. It's amazing, and you benefit from it.
You said compliment, and so maybe I shouldn't say more skill. I'll say more restraint, because when you're speed vocalist, you can go wherever you want. You feel like walking down a boulevard and then jumping off and going down the expressway. You're the lead, so we're all following you. But when you have the ability to lead and you have to compliment, it's a whole different brush stroke.
Yes, it is. Because, and I tell people that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's beyond just the harmonizing. You have to kind of lean into them spiritually where they are and pick up their flow. Otherwise, you can sing all the right notes and it'll be a disconnect.
It's about textures and tones and intent. Yes. It's about intent. But it is, because you're absolutely right. Your spirit has to be placed in the right position, and it has to mesh with the right moment. And that's intentional. That's very intentional. It's not something that just happens, because you have to be in tune. You have to pay attention. You have to be focused, and you have to be open.
Absolutely. So now I know that you're still in your shy, modest mode, and God bless your whole heart for that. But what I'm going to need you to do before we go on to our next section is just give my viewers just maybe, and I know it's really hard, but like the top three for you, top three opportunities that you got to touch a mic and be on a stage or a platform, either with someone or as a feature artist, as a solo artist, but just those immediately when you go, you know what, God, I thank you for the opportunity to do this for a living. Those top three that come to mind.
That's a difficult question for me because...
I know. There's so many.
Well, and not just that, though, because every single experience I get is that for me and to me, because I didn't ask for this, number one. I didn't ask for the gift. I didn't ask for the opportunities or I didn't ask for the lane in which I am. But I love where God places me. I love where he placed me. I love what he gives me, what he does for me, through me, and around me. And for that reason, I can't just pinpoint three.
Okay, so let me rephrase. So not necessarily the top three.
Okay.
But just give us a few out of your bag. Don't make me do it, Carol, because yeah, I'll read them.
But I'm one of those people that finds, and I think this comes from my mother. I'm the silver lining person. Like I'm, you know, even in the worst experience, I'm looking for the best in it. So it's.
So someone you looked up to, someone that you admired, that you had the opportunity to perform with.
But that's all of them. That really is all of them. I mean, listen, well, because listen, so mind you, I learn more and more about my own gift every time I get to use it. So knowing that because of my gift, I'm working with other people whose gift I admire, people whose gift, you know, that I'm telling everybody, oh, you should really check out so-and-so. You should really hear, you know. So because I'm in my fan state, you know, with everybody with whom I get the opportunity to work, it is difficult for me because I'm relishing that moment as well, you know, as well as the person that's on the outside looking in, looking at me with that person. Please know I'm with you. I'm saying hi. What? I'm doing the same thing. Okay.
Okay, you're not helping. So this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm sitting at an India RE concert.
Okay.
Minding my business because I paid for a ticket. And I'm just, you know, blown away because I love India RE. I love real singers. I love real music. So I'm sitting there.
I love
her. Yeah. And my husband surprised me. I didn't know where we were going. And so I was still just like higher than a kite. When I walk in the door and I see her name on the marquee, like, I've lost it. So I am sitting there in music euphoria. And all of a sudden, this voice walks out on the stage. And it's a mic toss. What? Is that my sister? This seat, I see an angelic being walking out on the stage. What? Sold out theater. And India, in all of her wonderfulness, is the queen. I love her. But listen, let me tell you something. Carol Riddick shut the Keswick down. Okay? Shut it down. Windows, doors, curtains, down. Shut it. And this was just on a, you know, she gives you the, oh, I didn't know that I was going to. And I mean, just, I told you the diamonds fell out. So that had to make you feel you have a national artist and you are a known name in your own right. But to have someone that doesn't have to share their moment with someone who can, this is going to be a topic, operate at the same, if not better, level You don't see that. No one's giving anybody the mic. Everybody's 6 feet behind me and turn their mic down. No one's sharing. No one's confident in their own gifting enough to allow someone that is just as, if not more so, take the mic.
But I feel that, that's a challenge for me, because I feel that that is a problem with us as human beings. Understand that whatever is for me, whatever is for you, we're going to have that. I'm going to have it and you're going to have it, because God will listen. As we all know, everybody says it all the time. What's for me is for me, and what's for you is for you. So I find that not sharing our space, our platform, our, you know, whatever it is to which we have privilege.
Yeah.
Is only doing ourselves a disservice, not the other person, because they're going to have theirs, whether you help, whether you assist, whether you are a part or not. If you choose not to be a part and you choose not to share, then that just means that you're not supposed to be a part of that part of their journey. And that's okay too. That's okay too. But you could be a big part of someone else's journey if you share. And I love that. I love that about her. All of the artists that invite me to share their space, their time, their energy, their gift, and their platform, you know, because that's nothing but love. That's God right there.
And you feel it. That is my point. You feel it. I'm so glad that you said that, because that's exactly what that moment felt like. No different than another one of my wonderful birthday outings. I'm sitting at South, one of Philadelphia's premier restaurants. Shout out to the Bynum brothers. Hey, family. So listen, so we're sitting there and the artist for the evening is Will Downing. Come on. And we're sitting there, and I mean, we're talking some of, you know, Philly's finest are in the room. We're talking some nice names are in the room. You know, as you nod respectfully across the room, you know not to walk over. And you just nod respectfully like, oh, there's such and such. And there's such and such. Mm-hmm. And we're enjoying our dinner, and the music is amazing. Gerald Beasley and his band are crushing. And then Will Downing comes out, and he's crushing. And then what does he do? And you don't know how my heart beams with pride when people that I know, not like, you know as in passing. I mean, I know you, like we've broke bread together. Like we have each other's personal selves. When people that I know are winning, and I know their heart is good and toward God, and I know that this is a blessing, to hear their name called in a setting of such magnitude, just random, like salt, pepper, you know, it's like, and now we're just going to have Carol Riddick, what? I'm like, is she everywhere? And she comes to the stage, and I tell you, it was nothing but love. Now, some of those people, I'm sure, of course, you probably knew. Of course, Will, because you've worked with him. Of course, Gerald, because you worked with him. But some of the other musicians, perhaps you guys maybe didn't even know each other. And it just gelled so beautifully. To be able to turn to someone and throw them a mic and know that they're going to deliver each and every time, that has to be a huge, you know, for you, you're just having fun. But for the audience, it's such a gift to know that when someone says your name, they're going to be just enthralled with what they hear.
You know what, Tamika? I just thought of something when you were asking me about experiences, and I'm sorry for mixing apples with oranges, but charge it to my ADD, please. But
we're all in the love basket. It's all right.
I thought of two particular experiences.
Yeah,
that were okay. Unrelated to being on stage or anything. Like the little things mean so much to me.
Okay.
And I was staying in LA for a while, and a girlfriend of mine who lives out in LA, she said, You've got to come. I want you to meet my friend. I want you to meet her. I think you guys would be so cool. It'd be great. We all hang out. You know, we're going to go to her house. And I said, oh, okay. Okay. She said, bring a bag because you're going to stay. She's going to insist. And I said, I don't, okay. Okay. So we go, and her friend is Tina Marie. We go
Floor.
To Tina's house. We
Oxygen.
You know what? Tina, she opened her door and welcomed me like we had known each other forever. Forever. This is when her little girl was younger. She was much younger at the time. And we sat on the floor with pillows. And then we got ourselves some edamame and started eating some edamame. And we went
and
cooked some stuff. I mean, it was the most, like, you talk about a girlfriend moment. And we just met. But she's like, and my girlfriend Tracy said, she said, oh, Tina, oh, please, that's Tina. Tina is just love. She is going to insist. And she did. She did. I've spent the whole day, stayed the whole night. She cooked. We relaxed, you know. Hi, Chloe. She cooked. We relaxed. And it was such a wonderful and memorable time. And like I said, her little girl was a little girl then. And she sat and relaxed with us, too. I'm sorry. I'm getting rid of my baby's. Sorry about that.
Letting us know that she's there. We love you, Chloe.
Yes, Chloe. You hear that? So that was one of the most memorable moments for me. And the second was a friend, Payne Brown, who used to live in Philadelphia. He reached out and he said, listen, there's a friend of mine that I want you to meet. And he said, I think you two should really know each other.
Invitations.
He said, I think you two should know each other. He said, just come over to the house. He said, we'll order some Chinese or Japanese or something. We'll just get something really light and we'll just have a good time. I said, okay. And I go, and it was Rochelle Farrell. And the three of us are sitting around the table, and we're having fun, and we're eating our noodles, and, you know, we were just sitting there for hours just laughing and talking. And then Payne said to her, well, Carol sings. So she said, oh, I want to hear one of your songs. Can you sing something of one of your songs? So, of course, right, Rochelle Farrell.
So I melted off the carpet.
I almost fell out of my chair. So I started singing Brown Eyed Girl, one of my songs, and she started ad-libbing with me.
Oh!
When I tell you, it was an out-of-body experience to have Michelle Farrell ad-lib to one of my original songs.
And you wrote while you're singing it? Oh my goodness, I have chills. I can't do it.
Let me tell you something. Those two experiences. Oh, and then we both did a cruise together. And I saw her. We were walking, passing in the hall. I said, Michelle. So we hugged, we say hi and everything. And George Duke was walking up. He and his wife, and she stopped George, introduced me to George, and he in turn introduced me to his wife. Those experiences, those moments, those are like little pearls, little, you know, those are.
Oh my goodness. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Those moments. Oh my goodness. That is a treasure trove of amazing connections and experiences. And you have the right personality. Like, you're one of those people that, like I said, I applaud on the sidelines when things like that happen for you. Because, you know, when it happens to the people that are, you know, they're trying to make it happen. You know what I mean? They're trying to, let me wear this bright red sweater so I know such and such is going to be there so that she can see me. It's not authentic. And it's not one of those examples of making something happen. You're literally making it up and making it happen. Because that person probably would have never paid you any attention. But if you're like, here I am. Right. Then you're not allowing God to be God, and you're not allowing your life to take its natural path that it was designed to. You're making it happen. So it's not as rewarding. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I'm just walking down the Lido deck, and George Duke and his lovely wife are walking up, and what? Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
Divine orchestration. That's what I call it. That's divine orchestration.
Divine orchestration. Divine orchestration. I'm going to pop a bag of popcorn and get me a pillow. And I'm going to sit on the floor so that I can reenact the sister circle with you and Tina Marie. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying our time with Carol Phoenix. I am. Don't touch that dial. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether it's advice on managing your anxiety or tools to help you stay grounded, Coping 19 provides a range of resources and self-care tips to help you cope with this pandemic. We can help. Find the resources that work best for you at coping-19.org.
Hey, family, and we are back. Listen, we are having a ball chatting it up with my sister and my friend, international recording artist, songstress, songwriter, and artist advocate, Carol Riddick. She has given us just a small peek into the exciting life that she leads every day, bringing joy to so many lives across the country with her God-given gift. And when I tell you it's God-given, honey, he blew his breath on that. Because when this lady opens her mouth, it is such a joy. It's so refreshing. And I was just sharing with her on the break that, you know, I'm a little eclectic. I just don't like everything and everybody. My musical palette is a little different. And I'm not drawn to necessarily the popular. I will play the B-side of a record and love it and wear it out and never listen to the song that them are telling us is the hit. Is a hit for you. It's not hitting for me. Side B, when there were records, side B for me. Or track number four that's buried in between, in the middle. That will be my track. You know, not the title track or not the lead track, not the one that everybody's listening to. So my taste is a little different. And I have shared with my viewers, I love real singers. I love people that actually have something to say and know how to say it when they get a microphone. And microphone is it's a dangerous place of power. And I don't believe that people really understand when you have an audience, the responsibility that comes with that. So when you have a microphone in your hand, it amplifies whatever it is that you have to say, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. Is it going to be medicine or is it going to be poison? You have to make that choice. And so as artists, holding a microphone is a powerful position to be in because someone's listening, whether it's three people or 3,000 people, someone's listening to what you had to say. And you've been saying a lot for a minute. You've been out there sharing your gift and your artistry, and you burst onto the scene with Access Music Group and, you know, some of the most influential names in the music industry with regards to producers, writers. Come on, moments like this. If you were an East Coast person and you didn't have a copy of Moments Like This, something was wrong with you. We're taking your tires and your rims off your car. Tell us about that project, because just give us a snippet. You did everything. You wrote, you produced. I mean, what did you do?
I'm getting excited, you know, as you're talking, but Moments Like This for me was such, it was like, you know, cracking the rest of my shell, because it was me saying, okay, I didn't even think about any of what I was doing. I just did. And it felt so good to do that. To just be, you know, walk in who you are and just do what you do. And I was so privileged. I had the opportunity to work with James Poyser, Derek Hodge, Adam Blackstone, Steve McKee, Eric Wortham. Larry Gold did strings, you know, for some of my songs. Ryan Moyes, Tim Motzer. There are so many like incredibly gifted, like gifted, you know, anointedly gifted people that participated in putting moments like this together. That it was a dream come true. I cried. Brian Fraser Moore, and the names keep coming because there were so many incredibly talented people.
I'm going to tell you a story. I don't think I've ever told you the story. So there was a gentleman, that cut that you had for that album cover. Who was the guy that did your hair?
Oh, Larry Valentine.
He had a salon near the art museum somewhere.
Yeah, yep. And he moved. Oh my goodness.
So let me tell you my moments like this story. So I admired someone's hair and he was their stylist. And so they tell me about this guy. He's amazing. He has hands of doves and he does all this wonderful, amazing stuff with your hair. Okay. So I go. So I'm sitting in the salon and there's this wall mural, literally, portrait of this beautiful woman. And she's posed on this album cover. And this music is playing. Now, I've already seen the picture. I'm like, oh, wow, she's pretty. Okay. And this music is playing. I'm just like, oh, my God. Yeah, which station is this? And he's playing the Moments Like This album in the salon. So I go, excuse me, who is this? That's Carol. So I'm like, Carol. He threw the one name. When you get the one name, come on. You already know. So he breaks it. That's Carol Riddick. I'm like, the Carol Riddick?
I love Larry.
I have been a fan ever since.
You know what? Oh my goodness, I appreciate
the connection of those two. I don't know if it was the conditioner or the shampoo, the whole salon experience that drew me in.
Let me tell you something. Larry is phenomenal. He is. And it was funny because I met Larry when he was still in school. And I said to him, you let me know when you open your salon, whenever you have your own chair or whatever the situation is, you let me know. And he did. And I was with Larry for 17 plus years. He just moved. He moved to Houston. So he's living in Texas.
Look, your cuts were everything.
Yeah, Larry was.
Just your whole packaging, your styling went along with the music. Okay, so we're getting off course here. Let's go back. Moments like this. We know you're beautiful and shout out to Larry and God bless you in Houston. Carol had the baddest cuts on the planet. And this guy was amazing. But that was my introduction.
I do have to say too, because he worked in, I used to go to a young lady named Poochie and he worked in Poochie's salon. And that was from, so between the two of them, they kept me, I felt like I was so pretty between the two of them. Now I'm rocking naturally.
Either way, natural, the cuts, the braids, it doesn't matter. Some people just have it.
I appreciate that. But you know, when you get to another level in your maturation process, you know, your body starts telling you some things that you need to learn. Okay. It tells you some things that you need to adjust and accommodate and adapt to.
I think real women, when they embrace their true womanhood and femininity, that you continue to evolve. I think you are, when you look at your Angela Bassett's and your Felicia Rashad's and you know, your Kathleen Battles. And I mean, just you continue to evolve and your beauty continues to evolve. So if you are beautiful at 30, if you still know that you're beautiful here at 50, then you still are. You have to carry that.
I agree wholeheartedly. I will tell you this because I'm 51 now, walking into 52. I'll be 52 this year. And I'm praise God, I'm happy to say it because I'm happy to be it. But I I will say this is the first time, and Larry will tell you, I drove him crazy. Oh, crazy, crazy, crazy with my hair. Because I don't do hair well. I don't know how to do hair. I'm that little girl that just did not do hair well. And I'm still that big little girl who does not do hair well. So when I got to the fifth level, well, I should say when I was 45, maybe when I turned about 45, you know, my hair texture changed. And then it changed again at 50. So the fifth level had some new things for me. but I started wearing protective styles. And I have to say it's been the best thing for me. The absolute best thing when the pandemic started and I had nothing in my hair and I had to physically do it myself. Let me tell you, after I got over the initial shock and panic, it was the best thing for me. I didn't know my own hair. I had no idea my hair loved water. I had no idea.
Again, with what we're told, we just had this conversation about, and we're not even, you know, off par, because this show basically is about all things industry, all things inspirational, all things inspiring, empowering. You're supposed to leave this moment empowered and encouraged and educated. So we're not off task. We're talking about health and beauty, and that's right in the lanes. We're still good. But we just had this conversation just about, you know, Black hair care. You know, some folks can wash their hair every day. We cannot and should not. Mm-mm-mm-mm. That's just not our lane. You know, it's just not. And so to, I think everyone found out something about themselves during the reset, because you had so much time to spend with yourself.
I agree.
So, you know, you got to know your hair. You got to know your skin. You're like, oh, when I eat pickles, my face does this. Note to self, don't eat pickles. But you never paid any attention because you were so busy marching on. Mm-hmm. So speaking about busy, ma'am, how do you find time to be, because you're the only person I know in Philadelphia that's still, you know, your calendar is packed and God has been faithful. But how do you find time to still be, you know, a national artist, a songwriter, an artist advocate, you know, you still do your work with the Recording Academy. You're still educating other artists and young talent that are coming up. How do you manage? I mean, we know that Clo takes up, you know, a large portion of your time. So how do you manage all of that and still do everything at such a level of excellence?
Girl, I'm on God's clock. I have to tell you, because I realize I'm moving a little slower now. And I don't like to get up anymore. So I'm realizing some things about myself, but I every day, as long as I'm able, I get up and do it. So I can't say that it's been. First of all, let me say that I'm grateful to be able, because like you were saying, there are not many people that have been able to work through the pandemic, and only by God's grace I've had, you know, I've been able to maintain and sustain, you know, but I say because he gives me those opportunities, I better move. I better get up. I better do something. I better not sit there. I better, number one, I better not complain. I better not sit still. I better not ever say, nah, I don't feel like, what? Come again? Try again? What? Come again?
So you're making it work. So even on the days that you move a little slower, you're making it all work because you're blessed to be breathing. Come on. I just said to someone else, you know, we said it passively, you know, in past years. Lord, we thank you for life, health, and strength, and we thank you for breath. We spend about 15 minutes on breath.
Yeah, well, I mean, how can we not? I mean, we're dealing with a virus that makes it difficult for you to breathe, that attacks, you know, your respiratory system. How can we not consistently talk about being able? And then there's so many that we've lost that are no longer able.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why music and the arts are so important, because I truly believe that during this time of reset and during this time of reflection, that it has been the arts that have just kept folks that may have otherwise totally had a breakdown. And they've heard a song, or they've heard a poem, or they've seen a performance that inspired them, that gave them hope. And of course, the gospel is the good news. And of course, you know, gospel music, you're supposed to do that. Gospel is you're supposed to uplift and encourage and to mend the brokenhearted. But when you go into another genre of music or another artistic form, and you are inspired by a jazz selection or by a Broadway selection or by a country song, you know, I heard the selection, I think, oh my goodness, I want to say his name is Tim McGraw. It's a song called Undivided.
I love
country. I love country. I love Shania Twain. Like, I listen to a few folks, but I was really moved. I listened to the song during the inauguration concert, and I was really, really moved.
I love Tim McGraw. This just popped into my mind. There was something else I would like to share too. We talk about, you know, being able, and we all know that to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes. Yes.
It brings me to a moment with Garth Brooks. I was doing...
you had a moment with Garth Brooks? I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the inauguration. Pump the brakes. You had a moment with Garth Brooks?
It wasn't specifically my moment, but it was. I was with Monique Harcum. She and I were singing background at the time. Yes, for Jill Scott. And it was at the Welcome America event. And... Garth was walking to the stage because he was about to perform. And Monique, I love Garth, but she loves Garth. Okay. And we were coming out of our trailer, and he was walking, but like walking by our trailer, and she was freaking out. She's like, oh my goodness. And he was surrounded by police officers. But he stopped and he was looking, and he looked, and I saw him. She didn't see him look at us because she was still freaking out. So he parts the police officers and the people around him, and he walked back to us, to Monique and I. And I said, my friend loves you. She just wants to say hi. And he took that moment. He took that moment and he spoke to her. He said hello and he asked her what her name was and blah, blah, blah. When I tell that right there is what I'm talking about. And we're in a sea of people. He's surrounded by at least six police officers, but he parted everybody to come say hello to her. And then he turned around, went to the stage and did his show. It doesn't get any better than that. But I believe that's who we should be. Come on.
There's a little girl somewhere that's going to be standing on the sidelines as you're walking in to perform somewhere. And she's going to be freaking out. Oh my God, that's Carol Riddick. Oh my God, that's Carol Riddick. And because of that experience, but then also just because of who you are, you will take that moment to sow into the life and the dreams and the inspiration of these are our next artists.
Oh, she's coming on stage.
She has to have these stories to tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's coming on stage. So you can come up here with me.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we all as artists need to have, that comfortability in just being thankful for what God has already blessed us to accomplish and blessed us to do. So when you see someone celebrating you, that you inspire, you actually get to meet someone that's inspired by what you do. Don't take that lightly. And if you have the platform and you have the means to give that person a shine, to put them on per se, to allow them to share their gifting, it's okay. It's almost your duty and your responsibility to sow into the next. So that's just my my message for today. My name is Tamika Patton, and I approve this message. And so, yep, we're going to keep this train moving. All right. So moments like this, we talked about You Better Not Hurt Me. That was the song from that project. But again, like I said, I'm a side B girl. So I just listened to the whole project over and over. Loved everyone. And what now?
I was going to say, I think You Better Not Hurt Me was the song. Angie Stone had started that song for herself. And she,
Angie Stone. I told you guys.
One of them. I don't know if it's I Don't Wanna or You Better Not Hurt Me. But so she started the song for herself, and it was a song that she decided not to use. So I always speak it because I'm so grateful that she let me, that, you know, James and I finished writing to it, and then I recorded it. But I'm so glad, you know, it's the little things. It is always the little things.
She could have just given it to Tasha Johnson.
She could, you know. You never know.
Or Jane Brown. She couldn't have. It was already written. And so you made us wait for a while you were touring the world and doing all these amazing things. And then Love Phases came out. If you've ever seen Carol Riddick live, you guys, if you haven't, you're missing it. I need you to go to YouTube and watch some of her live performances. And when you see the energy that this little woman puts out, and those hips get to moving, she's doing a whole choreographed number. And don't let her feel it. Don't let it be a song that she's like really feeling, honey. She has left the stage and left you wherever you're watching. And it's an experience. So if you have not partaken of a Carol Riddick moment, you need to go wherever you purchase your digital music. You owe it to yourself today to download her music. Moments Like This is the first project. Love Phases is the follow-up. And I'm sure in between there, you're going to find some other amazing things, but I just need you to go and support. And before we bring this to a close, I just want to touch on what's next. What's next for Carol Riddick? I know that you have, your year of reset has been a little different because you haven't exactly been sitting still. But I know that you have had some time to reflect and to refresh and to be revived and to plan and to look into the future and see how Carol Riddick is now going to navigate this new terrain that we're living in. So what's next?
As you said, in the midst of the pandemic, I started a podcast, and you'll have to come visit me sometime. So the podcast, I'm still working on the podcast. I'm also working on new music. I'm still very much, I'm still very much engaged in my advocacy efforts. I'm a national trustee with the Recording Academy now. I'm still a member of the Music Industry Task Force, the Philadelphia Music Alliance. So I enjoy that. And I also work as a program director, a program coordinator. I'm not a director, a coordinator for DASH, which is a program that teaches youth and young adults production and songwriting. Yeah, so I love
it. Is that all? There's only 25.
I'm Chloe's forever, always, you know, so to cater to Chloe. You know, Chloe comes first.
Gotta do it. That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, we are definitely looking forward to hearing new music. We are so happy to hear that you are giving back and that you're sowing seeds into our next by empowering and inspiring our young people. And we cannot wait to hear the new project. I'm psyched. So if any of you didn't know, I am a worshiper. That is who I am. But I'm an artist. I'm not a gospel artist. I am an artist. So I listen to all types of music. I have 4 years of classical training. You know, I love country. I love Broadway. I love jazz, you know, and I think, you know, just, you know, to be fair to myself, I can kind of do, you know, all of them except for rap and rock. I don't know. Then again, with rock though, I love Fleetwood Mac, but they're not technically rock.
You could do rock.
So okay, I just gotta get the right one. I'm not a screaming rock person.
No.
Soft rock.
There you have it. There you go. That's it.
Saffron.
But so I happen to believe you can do anything because I'm just, you know, I'm a fan.
Oh,
I mean it. I'm so serious.
Beneath my wings. She's the wind beneath my wings. She thinks I can do everything. Well, listen, it is on my list. I'm going to do this jazz project, this inspirational jazz project I've been talking about, because it's just in there and it comes out anyway. And then I'm so inspired when I listen to voices like you and when I see you do what you do. And Rochelle, of course, has been a favorite of mine forever, you know, so it's something that's got to happen. But I just thank you so much. We've totally just scratched the surface of who you are and what you do and what you've done and who you are just to the world at large. And to the music industry, to the jazz community, to the gospel community. Carol Riddick is a name that if you, this is the first time you're hearing it, you will absolutely fall in love with her after this chat. And once you've heard her music, it's over. You're a forever fan. So I promise you, you need to take a moment today and go to wherever you purchase your digital music and support, because this is a good $10 well spent, I promise you. You don't want to cheat yourself and do 99 cents of any of this vocal right here. You definitely want to get the entire project, I promise you. So, Carol, before we say goodbye to our family for this episode, please tell everyone where they can find you. Give them your social media handles, your website information. If they're interested in booking you for any virtual events, please tell them that as well.
Oh, my goodness. So you can find me all over social media. I am Carol_Riddick on Instagram and Facebook. I also have a Carol Riddick artist page on Facebook, but I have a Linktree. So if any of you that are familiar with Linktree, you can find everything and anything that relates in part pertains to Carol Riddick in my Linktree. That's including my podcast.
Awesome. So you have now, when does the podcast air?
So, well, I had to slow the episodes down because I had so much going on. So now I'm just doing 2 a month because I did have them. I was releasing them weekly, but now I'm just releasing 2 a month. So that I just released one this past week on the 15th. So the next one.
And it's Conversations.
Conversations Inside the Music with Carol Riddick.
I like it. So make sure you guys check out, not on the same day you're watching mine, all right?
That's right.
Now, we support, okay? But you get a schedule. You get yourself a schedule, all right? Yeah, that's why we have replays, in case you missed it. All right, we don't take love out of one basket and put it in another. We love all together, all right? Okay, now, you go.
See, that's why I love you. That is why. That right there.
Oh my goodness. You gotta be real. I can never stop being real. And you check out Conversations
inside
the Industry with
Inside the Music.
Inside the Industry.
Yeah, if you go to Conversations Inside the Industry, you will not find me. But if you go to Conversations Inside the Music.
Conversations Inside the Music Industry.
No, just inside the music.
Oh, inside the music. Wait, we're on a system.
If you go to Conversations Inside the Music with Carol Riddick. Yes.
With Carol Riddick. Got it. And you know what? When they put the information up for you on the screen, it's going to be correct. This is how much fun we have, you guys, whenever we are in each other's presence. And when I tell you that I love this woman from a deep place, sincerely, that is not a word that I throw around. Yes, I call people sister and brother, you know, just not in a church context. This is my sister forever, my singing sister, my sister's sister. You know, I just so love all that you are to the world with your gift. And you're so humble and you're real. It's not a put on. And I'm just so blessed. Truly. I know that I've told you this privately a million times, but publicly, I just want to thank you for your friendship, for your love, for your support over the years. I mean, you've taken time out to do things, for me that just, you know, folks of your caliber just don't have to do, you know, working on my presence project, which was a huge joy for me. I mean, it included so many of Philadelphia's finest and greatest musicians. And to have my sister come through and bless that project was just amazing. And we wanted to, we had something in store for Presence also. So Presence is not gone and forgotten. We are going to remaster, remix, and we are going to release that project. And I know that will do Dave Stevens' heart so good because he works so hard. That project. I mean, we spent hours. So I just want to thank you for thinking enough of me and my gifting and what God has called me to do to lend your voice. And it won't be the last time. You guys, stay tuned. We're going to have our sister duet on the Jazz Inspirational Project that's coming up. So you guys stay tuned for that. But I just want to thank you once again, V. Carol Riddick, for joining us on this episode of Time, Talent, and Treasure with your girl, Tamika Patton. And we look forward to hearing your new music, and we look forward to hearing from you again when we have you back for part two. And I look forward to coming and sharing with you on Conversations in the Music with Carol Riddick.
I love
you. Everybody, don't you do it. Everybody, say thank you to Carol for joining us. And we're going to say bye now because I have stuff to do. I got commercials to do. I got things to say before we end this episode. So I love you. Mwah. See you soon. Mwah. Right back at you.
I love you more.
Oh, God. Listen, you guys, this show was absolutely hilarious. So we are coming to the part of the show where it is it's now time for me to say so long until next time. But I just want to thank you guys for tuning in so faithfully over the last few weeks. We have just been having a ball with chatting with these wonderful names in the industry, and we have so many more wonderful people to bring to you to empower you, encourage you, and inspire you. And just take a moment, please, if you have not already, and follow me on Instagram at Tamika Patton Music. Follow me on Facebook, Tamika Patton Music, and come on and chime in and follow me on Twitter at Tamika Patton Music. Stop on over at my website, TamikaPattonMusic.com. And you can check out all of the episodes of Time, Talent, and Treasure that you may have missed. Also, KBCN Media is also posting them on YouTube as well. So don't freak out if you miss us on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. and we are with you every week. If you miss us, you can always catch up and watch the replay. I promise you, it'll be just as good. All right. So until next time, you know what you got to do. Be intentional about how you spend your time that you have been blessed with here on earth, and make sure that you utilize each and every talent that the Lord has blessed you with. And know this, that your treasure is where your heart lies. This is your girl, Tamika Patton, signing off. Until next time, be blessed.